KCRW, this is Greater LA. It's the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Steve Chiatakis. You've heard of boxcar or boat races? What about an underwater robot race?
1, 2, 3, go.
Well, that's exactly what's happening in a 100-year-old warehouse near the port of Los Angeles. Students from King Drew Magnet High School in Willowbrook are gathered around a circular kiddie pool. They're racing robots that they designed and that they built themselves from PVC pipes, propellers, and pool noodles. Here's Lizette Silu, a senior at King Drew, lightheartedly claiming victory.
I tested mine out and clearly, obviously, I won. Like, it's not a surprise.
The warehouse hosting the robot race belongs to a nonprofit called Alta C. Part research facility, part education center, part business incubator. Alta C hosts a range of scientists, entrepreneurs, and students interested in what has become known as the blue economy. That's the aquatic equivalent of the sustainable green economy on land. And lately, the blue economy has been growing. So what does it have to do with underwater robots? Here's KCRW's Zeke Reed.
Against a backdrop of ocean liners, shipping containers, and cranes, Alta C CEO Terry Tamminen explains what his organization is up to.
We define the blue economy as anything to do with the ocean, of course, but specifically in three areas.
First, he says this means regenerative aquaculture.
Getting food and fuel and pharmaceuticals and other products and services from the ocean in a sustainable way.
Food, like mussels and kelp, which are being grown in Alta C's warehouse. Dr. Sergey Nuzhdin and his team of USC graduate students oversee a long grid of white tanks full of salt water and illuminated by overhead pink UV lights.
This is all aquaculture systems to grow kelp, which we grow from seeds in controlled environments. So
each tank contains kelp that's been bred for use in open ocean kelp farming.
We are selecting for kelp that will be able to grow fast. We are working on kelp that can withstand warmer temperature.
Dr. Nuzhdin is betting on the future of aquaculture as a source of food, fuel, and even carbon sequestration. Eventually, his goal is to cultivate algae that can grow on so-called kelp elevators, large-scale structures that raise and lower in the open ocean. Alta C is also investing in new forms of renewable energy. Here's Tamminen again.
Everyone's familiar with offshore wind turbines and wind energy, but we think that also includes wave energy and things like extracting carbon pollution from the ocean, and the byproduct is hydrogen, which can be put into goods movement.
And third, Alta C supports marine technological innovation.
Things like underwater drones and mapping systems. Bob Ballard, who found the Titanic, keeps his vessel right here at Alta C and builds all of his robots and exploration devices right here at Alta C.
Remember the underwater robots? It's not just students building them. A startup in Torrance called Blue Robotics is testing its products at Alta C. CEO and founder Rusty Jahangir is bullish on the potential of these robots. He compares their future to the recent rise of aerial drones.
I watched that industry go from like people's garages, people tinkering around with drones, to people having multi-million dollar companies and drones being at Best Buy and like drones being everywhere.
Underwater robots are being used in conservation research, aquaculture, ship hull inspections, and seafloor mapping. According to Blue Robotics marketing director Elisa Miller, the company hopes to inspire the next generation of engineers and scientists to help grow the industry.
Our dream is that an occupation in the marine robotics space is something that kids dream of in the same way that they grow up wanting to be like an astronaut or a teacher or a doctor.
Kids like the students from King Drew High School racing their robots.
Oh, go, go, go.
Yeah.
You got it. Nice.
Lizette Silu from King Drew says the process of building her own underwater robot inspired a newfound passion for ocean science.
I've never been a science person. I was not interested at all. I was like, man, like, I do not care about coral reefs and stuff like that. But then, like, after a while, when we started soldering and, like, putting together the remote and building the actual robot, I actually started to enjoy it and stuff. And I actually started having fun.
This is exactly what people like LAUSD board member Tanya Ortiz Franklin, who represents the area around the port, want to hear.
just the proximity to the water and to the blue economy can make their creativity spark and motivate them to maybe try to solve a problem in the future, which is really what we think of in innovation, because we have grown up in a particular system that is changing every single day, and it will be our kids that figure out the next career paths and create new job opportunities that we never would have even imagined.
That goal seems to have worked for at least one student, Ernest Ekajiba. He expressed a newfound passion for protecting the ocean.
I just want to explore and see how this industry is continuing to grow with technology and how it's helping save our environment, clean up our environment, our ships, monitor our sea life. And yeah, this is interesting.
The school district hopes to support careers in the blue economy that aren't just accessible to students going on to college. Recently in San Pedro, the Willenberg Career and Transition Center for Students with Severe Disabilities started an operation brining shrimp. Students there can work and get paid selling the shrimp to aquariums as fish food.
This is a great example of how the blue economy is opening up a possible career path for students who might otherwise not have had access and honestly wouldn't have access to a four-year university.
Among the employers looking for students with a background in marine science, whether or not they have a college degree, is the Navy. Two recruiters spoke with the students when they were at Alta Sea.
Hey, if everybody could come gather around the Navy tent real quick.
That robot project the students were working on, that was funded by Boeing, the military contractor. Boeing and the Navy are both recruiting people with marine engineering experience because those skills are becoming increasingly relevant in military operations. You might not think of them as eco-friendly, but major marine employers like the Navy, international shipping companies, and even oil and gas companies will no doubt shape the trajectory of the blue economy. And small sustainable startups like those at Alta Sea will have to find ways to work with these legacy industries if they hope to fundamentally transform how we use the ocean. According to Terry Tamminen, LA is the place to make that transformation happen.
The same way that 50 years ago in Silicon Valley, there were a lot of innovators who went back to their parents' garage. Well, Alta Sea has a much bigger garage. Los Angeles is absolutely going to become the Silicon Valley of the sea. I do believe in the next 10 or 20 years, this will be to the California economy what Silicon Valley was 40 or 50 years ago.
The ocean faces threats from warming waters, acidification, pollution, plastic, and overfishing. And it's going to take a lot of collective effort to steer the ship, or underwater robot, as it were, in a more sustainable direction. For KCRW, I'm Zeke Reed.
By the way, if you're curious to learn more about the work underway in LA, Alta Sea is hosting a public open house this coming Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. You can find out more at our website, kcrw.com/GLA. Just ahead, finding an ear for the unhoused across Los Angeles. Sometimes it's just good to talk to somebody. Meet the founder of a phone buddy network that's gone worldwide.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
More now of Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Living without a home, as so many people in LA do, can be a frightening and lonely experience. As simple as it sounds, having a friend can be a big help.
You know, my mother used to say, always look for the helpers. Anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy.
Oh, baby, how do you
Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
Kevin Adler founded something called Miracle Messages. It's an organization that pairs up unhoused residents with buddies who check in with them regularly via phone calls and texts. It also works to help rebuild connections with family members and social networks, which are often lost when you're living in a shelter or on the street. Well, Kevin Adler's with us right now, and so is Keela, a participant in the program. And I want to thank you both for coming on. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
Good to have you on. And hi, Keela.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's really nice to talk to you. Kevin, I'll start with you. Maybe a little bit of background, if you wouldn't mind, on the program. How did Miracle Messages begin?
So Miracle Messages, we help people who are experiencing homelessness rebuild their social support systems and their financial security. We got started with this work by actually my uncle was homeless for about 30 years. He suffered from schizophrenia and lived on and off the streets of Santa Cruz. But it wasn't until after he passed away that I realized, gosh, you know, everyone I'm walking by, that's someone's son or daughter, brother or sister, or maybe some kid's beloved uncle.
Yeah.
And so I just started having conversations with my unhoused neighbors, hearing their stories. And over again, I heard different versions of a similar story, which was, I never realized I was homeless when I lost my housing, only when I lost my family and friends. And so that was a starting point for our work, trying to address relational poverty as a form of poverty on the streets.
Relational poverty. What a way to put it. And I guess the question is, you know, what's the process of pairing these folks up? What kind of support do the volunteers offer?
So we have about 300 volunteers currently all around the world. They apply, they fill out a short little 5-minute application on our website, miraclemessages.org. And we then train them. We give them a little bit of support and we learn about their hobbies, their interests, the call time, day and time, what their preferences are. And then we'll match them with a neighbor experiencing homelessness. A neighbor could be down the block. Could also be like Adnan and Jamie, who Jamie's based in Los Angeles, experiencing homelessness, young person. And Adnan is in Bahrain in the Middle East. And they have 20-minute, 30-minute phone calls, text messages, and become fast friends.
Keela, you're here in L.A., right?
Yes, sir, I am.
How'd you first find out about the program? Tell me a little bit about your experience.
Well, actually, I'm not from Los Angeles, California. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. So I have been coming to California, being down here on Skid Row, just going to the events and walking in the neighborhood. One day I was, they had an event here and I signed up. But with the Miracle Messages, I'm going to be honest. I'm not from here. I have children and grandchildren. And my parent, well, my father and my siblings and my family back home, I sometimes get lonely to talk to my buddy every week. They always seem to just call at the right time, you know, especially when it's hardest for me and I be ready to go somewhere else.
What do y'all talk about?
Well, technically, I'll be honest. I tell her about my day-to-day livings. I tell her about everything that's going on in my life. I tell her about my children and my grandchildren. You know, I call to see how her day is. I call to see if she's okay or if they need medicine. You know, like one time we were talking and she was sick and I told her how to help take care of her cold. Like I tell her, just somebody calling me every day, like I don't always call home or I don't always get calls. But, you know, everybody needs somebody to talk to and instead of just praying and talking to God. Just a human being is nice just to chat with. Even if it's just your family, your friends, or even just some stranger who cares.
Kevin, it's all about humanity, right? We're talking human beings talking to human beings.
Absolutely. For me, you know, when you get to know someone as a friend or a neighbor, you can't help but want to be part of their journey. And it's not a silver bullet, you know, but when paired with other services, you know, for us at Miracle Messages, we also offer a limited number of direct cash transfers. We are doing $1 million basic income pilot, giving out basic income to many participants in some of our programs. But the combination of investing time, money, resources, and just love in our unhoused friends, that seems to go a long way. Keela, are you a recipient of Miracle Money?
Yes, and I would like to talk about that too. I've also got the blessing of Miracle Money. And I mean, like it came when I had a job, but then I got into a car accident and I stopped working you know, and then especially like when my money get low, I have to send money home to my children so they can pay for their college or the things that they need to do back home. You know, it makes me feel good to know, like, I don't have, I'm not working at this moment, but I have a little help.
Why do you think, Kevin, Nakila speaks with her family back home in Chicago, but there are a lot of folks who lose touch with friends and certainly with family, which is also heartbreaking as well. Why do you think that happens? Where does that disconnection happen?
I think there's really three reasons that I've been able to identify. I think from hearing thousands of folks, their stories, you know, first, there's huge digital literacy and access barriers among many of our neighbors experiencing homelessness. You know, phones get lost and stolen, numbers change, addresses change, internet access is variable. A second piece is the bureaucratic barriers. You know, under HIPAA, I think a lot of shelters are concerned about violating privacy of folks. You end up not being able to confirm or deny whether someone's at a facility. But the biggest reason of all, by far, is the emotional barriers. You know, shame, fear, self-loathing, not wanting to be a burden. But, you know, more often than not, the families and friends are excited to reconnect. They often reach out to us looking for missing relatives who may be homeless. And so, you know, 80%, over 80% of the time, it leads to a successful reunification.
Keela, does that speak to you? Does what Kevin say something about your life and your experience?
Yes, and that's why I signed up to volunteer. I'm waiting for them to get back to me because for me, with the miracle messages and being homeless, you know, I feel like God was to bless me with an abundance of money. I would love to just not only be a volunteer, but to just donate to them because of the love that they donated to me. So that way that their miracle could just keep going around the world.
Giving back, right? Giving back.
You have to.
Yeah. I want to thank you both for coming on and talking with us and for sharing your stories with us. Kevin Adler, Keela, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up, the life of pie. Pecan, apple, peach, salted mango, guava, rum, passion pie. So many pies just ahead of Good Foods Big Pie Fest this weekend. Meet a perennial past winner of that contest. She has her own shop. More now of Greater LA from KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's time to talk about something very near and dear to my heart, something very, very, very important in my life, maybe yours too, pie.
I'd like the chef salad, please, with the oil and vinegar on the side and the apple pie a la mode.
Chef and apple a la mode.
But I'd like the pie heated, and I don't want the ice cream on top. I want it on the side, and I'd like
apple pie. Green apple sliced thin. Lard, flour, salt, water to bind, sugar, cinnamon, dab of butter, 3 slashes on the crust, 1 for steam, and 2 because your mama did it that way.
Would you like to go get some pie with me?
I love some pie.
I love some pie. Yes, we all love some pie. Most of us love some pie. And with the return of Good Foods Pie Fest this weekend, there's been a lot of pie talk here at KCRW HQ. So it seemed only logical to reach out to Pie Fest's winningest baker, Tracy Ann. She is the owner of No Reality Pie, that's KNOW Reality, over in Eagle Rock, and a former Pie Fest judge. Welcome, Tracy.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. You've had your company since 2014. How did this love of pie begin?
Well, it's a long story, but basically my mom was a pie baker, not professional. We were just raised with everything pie, birthdays, all celebrations. And I really took a liking to all kinds of pie. And then later on, unfortunately, she became ill. I grew up and I wanted to know her secrets, and my passion for pie just increased.
Oh, wow. And so in honor of her, right?
It is. It is. She unfortunately passed before she saw any of this develop
so
for
sorry.
Me. But
yeah.
That's okay. You know, life happens. And I know she's on my shoulder all the time. And I feel it every time I make a pie. So for me, that's mostly what it's about. But in so doing all that, I just love making pies. I create new recipes all the time and constantly growing and learning.
What goes into that? Creating new recipes all the time. Do you like lie awake at night in bed and you're like, if I put this together and maybe I add a little salt and then of course water to tie it, to bind it, right? Like
you
the
know,
guy said.
It,
no.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically, yeah. These ideas, they just fly into my head all the time. I am someone who probably always had a creative outlet, and this is the channel that it took. So,
I'm looking at some of the choices that we have here that you've made before and that you've put together. Triple berry Cabernet.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
Cabernet Sauvignon? Is that what that is?
It is.
You put wine
it
in
is.
The pie.
Wine, yeah. The berries are steeped in a little bit of wine. And how that came about, before I moved to L.A. 8 years ago, I'm originally from Northern California. And there was a winery that was nearby, and I did a lot of baking for a couple of restaurants, and they said, can you do anything with wine?
Yeah.
So lo and behold, that's where that pie came from.
Salted mango, guava, rum, passion. Now,
yep.
Those are all things that I just never thought would go together, but there they are.
And people come to the pie shop when they ask, which pie should I get? And I recommend that one. And they say, oh, gosh, I'm not really a mango fan or a guava fan. And when they try it, it becomes their favorite pie. And that wasn't something I could really ever picture either. And in fact, there was a woman that we ran across that had a cake with some of those flavors. And that's where I got the idea. And we put it together. And it's probably the second best-selling pie in the shop.
All right. I have a fork, not a straw, and I have a key lime pie right here, a piece of your key lime pie
yes.
in this studio right now. Shh, we can't tell the engineers. We're not supposed to eat in here, by the way, but here we are. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but whatever.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to take a bite, Tracy, and I'm going to be that guy who eats on the radio, and I'm so sorry. I want to apologize to everybody for this. So.
That's great. Right, there's never any apologies
for
pie.
No. Oh, my gosh. This is so thick and rich. Hang on. Oh, wow. That is a delicious pie.
Thank
it's
you.
Not too
Thank
tart.
You.
The thing with key lime mm-hmm. is sometimes people can make it very tart. My eyes are watering a little bit, but not bad. And that's good.
You know, it's a little bit of a tricky pie to do. And there's many bakers who do it in a little bit different way texturally. Ours is a little more creamy, but it definitely has that tang back note.
The so. Cream... Yeah, it's, oh, that's like perfection. I want to thank you, Tracy Ann. I'm going to take one more. I just have to. That is amazing. I got to tell you, I'm going to eat the rest of this with a cup of coffee.
Right
Tracy
on.
Ann, now I have to. Tracy Ann from No Reality Pie, thank you for coming on and talking with us about this and for this wonderful slice of pie.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Take a sip of water.
My God.
That's all the time we have for today. Next week, LA County will be one of the first to implement Governor Gavin Newsom's so-called care courts plan. Those courts will have some authority over the mentally ill. What will those courts be like? You're going to hear that on Monday on GLA. The city of LA is commissioning a new memorial of the Chinese-American massacre in 1871. That's an attempt to finally remember the forgotten history of Los Angeles Street. That story as well, always online at kcrw.com/GLA. Find us there. Share a story idea with us. Of course, grab the podcast, too, at the website. Juliana Mayo, Zoe Matthews, Sonia Geis, Ray Guarna, J.C. Bold, Amy Ta, Carlos Ramirez, Sue Margulies, and Christian Bordahl all help piece the show together today. They get pie, by the way. They get pie. I'm Steve Chitakis. Thanks for your time. Have a great night.